Before the Trump era, lawfare and weaponization weren't exactly household terms. Now, with the federal indictment of President Donald Trump's former national security advisor, John Bolton, they're the topic du jour. The Justice Department is on a tear, going after the president's perceived enemies. In some analysts' view, Mr. Trump's critics opened the door to retribution. First to be indicted was former FBI Director James Comey, followed by New York Attorney General Letitia James. Mr. Bolton is a case of a former ally who has become a bitter enemy. More indictments are expected. As my story in today's Daily lays out, the echoes of President Richard Nixon's enemies list ring loud. The safeguards put in place after the Nixon era are crumbling. As Mary McCord, a former senior federal prosecutor, puts it, "We've just crossed a Rubicon here." It's Friday, October 17th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Linda Feldman. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Uruguay decriminalized euthanasia with broad public support for the law, which surpassed 80% approval in 2020 when it was initially proposed. Though assisted dying is a divisive issue in many parts of the world, the debate has broadened to include questions around mercy and compassion. Regardless of one's posture on euthanasia, what is needed in the conversation is more empathy. Uruguayan Florencia Salguero, whose father had sought assistance in dying, told the Monitor in 2023. Developers are building new homes for displaced Ukrainians. Hanson Village, a modular settlement near Kyiv, houses 2,000 people displaced from war-torn and occupied territories. It includes a school, health clinic, and sports facilities. It's funded by Utah developer Del Loy Hansen, who has invested more than $140 million in housing and aid for Ukraine since 2022. Also, Norway declared victory in its goal of ending sales of gas-powered cars by 2025. Electric vehicles made up more than 95% of new car sales this year, up from 89% in 2024, driven by tax breaks and incentives such as free tolls. Oslo plans to begin phasing out some of those benefits over the next 2 years. We can say that the goal has been achieved, Finance Minister Jens Stoltenberg said. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. As the Justice Department moves to indict people President Donald Trump says have done him wrong, the weaponization of the legal system is pushing the country into uncharted waters. I, Linda Feldman, report from Washington for The Monitor. President Donald Trump appears to have drawn a lesson from the Hamas-Israel ceasefire deal. To achieve peace, you have to lean heavily on the combatants. Now he's applying that approach to Russia to force an end to its invasion of Ukraine. Howard LaFranchi reports from Washington for The Monitor. Violent confrontations this week between Hamas and rival armed groups in Gaza may complicate the peace process. But they have also brought a long-overdue sense of security to many Palestinians there. Khada Abdel Fattah reports from Deir al-Balah, Gaza Strip, for The Monitor. If the Israeli army withdraws from Gaza, who will ensure law and order there? Only Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has the trust of Hamas and a strong enough military. How far will he go to help turn the ceasefire into lasting peace? Ned Temkov reports from London for The Monitor. The Founding Fathers expected the U.S. Constitution to be amended. In letters, they wrote that it would have to adapt to survive. yet the document hasn't been meaningfully updated in decades. An author looks at how supporters of expanded rights have shifted their fight to the courts and what that means for the durability of those rights. Contributor Barbara Spindle writes for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on how Africa is building a continental economy. As the world's second largest continent, Africa has more regional trading blocs than any other, about 30. In dollar value, two of the blocs are among the world's top 10. Yet 80% of African exports flow not to neighboring nations, but to countries elsewhere around the globe. That's changing, especially as aid cuts and tariff increases by the United States have pushed many African governments to accelerate their economies and trade with each other. That has put a renewed focus on an ambitious, continent-wide free trade agreement that's been in the works for more than 5 years. Africa has learned to stand on its own two feet. "We are learning to industrialize, to create jobs, to innovate," said Jane Osei, head of the African Investment Network. Speaking to African Business Magazine in Washington this week, she framed the rollback of aid and preferential trade as giving Africa a certain independence that provides opportunity within the challenge. The African Continental Free Trade Area is helping unlock some of that opportunity. Since its 2019 launch, 54 countries have signed on. That's double the European Union's membership and almost four times the EU's population. During a pilot phase of the pact, a few countries have traded manufactured items as well as raw materials, while working to align payment and customs policies. This month, Ethiopia shipped goods under the pact for the first time, while Namibia did the same in June. These steps demonstrate a growing commitment to the vision of a single continental market, states GIS, a European-based think tank, describing it as a shield against external shocks and a vehicle for unlocking Africa's full economic potential. Much of this potential lies in the size of Africa's market, with a population of over 1.5 billion, and among the thousands of small businesses that form the backbone of its economies. Intra-African trade grew to $208 billion in 2024, up 7.7% from the previous year. Small producers traded a larger share of their products within Africa than larger firms. Expecting continued growth, global shipping giant DHL announced this week that it will expand services across Africa. Kenyan statesman Raila Odinga, who passed away Wednesday, was a proponent for African self-reliance and economic integration. But he emphasized the need for transparent, democratic governance, which is still rare on the continent. Ultimately, as African Continental Free Trade Area Secretary General Wakele Mene said on a Brookings Institution podcast this year, "We have to create the conditions for our development to take place. Nobody is going to develop our continent except ourselves." The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we see ourselves as God sees us, we feel greater confidence in our ability to do what we need to. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Ian Case, Audrey Thiebert, and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.